Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to play out loud. It's the Tony Wayne Show. Truly fabulous Tony Lane, along with Maris, as we welcome you to episode 343 of the Tony Lane Show. And of course, reminding you to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow. That's the destination to hear the show live. And then, of course, you can subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. Easiest way to do it, then, just like magic, every time new episodes are published, they will automatically download to the device of your choice. Easy peasy. You can just hear it anytime you want. Wonderful thing. As we welcome you to episode 343, we are in the midst of the Extreme Rules.
We are.
And which I missed most of it, but we got the main event about to start.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fireflies are out.
They are.
It's his entrance. Bray Wyatt, for a heel, he gets such a babyface reaction, doesn't he?
He's a cool character, though. He's kind of one of those Undertaker-ish characters. And if you do it right, he usually goes over pretty well, and they've done him his story and everything right.
For the most part. I mean,
yeah.
Some of it's been a little goofy,
right.
You know,
yeah.
with Randy Orton burning his house down and, you know, taking the powers of Sister Abigail and all. Then it gets a little too crazy at times, but, you know, at least he did get to be the world champion.
Yeah, that's true. But look,
look
at the Undertaker, though. Like, what's the? There was some crazy stuff they did with him.
True.
like really, like having Paul Bearer hold his urn to control him. Like, come on.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it really was as surprising that the Undertaker lasted 3 decades. Because when it started off, it was really gimmicky. Really was.
Oh, super gimmicky.
And, you know, they did the whole thing with Hogan that led to Tuesday in Texas and, you know, and the belt getting held up and all that crazy mess. But Undertaker, I guess he evolved and he changed with the times.
Well, he did. He went through, like, the Ministry of Darkness and then, you know, the Badass, American Badass, and, like, he did a lot of different stuff.
Right.
But he was still the same Undertaker. There was still that slight gimmick to it. But, I mean, that's Bray Wyatt kind of reminds me of that gimmick.
And then the Undertaker had gotten so respected till people didn't give a damn.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody gave a shit. It's the fucking Undertaker.
You know, and everybody just, like, even, you know, when they started trying to push this as the so-called reality era, nobody cared how much hocus pocus stuff the Undertaker was doing because he had that much respect that he could do anything. You know, if he wanted to come out there and pull a rabbit out of the urn or whatever, people would have accepted it because
oh, yeah.
It was the Undertaker.
He would have got a standing ovation.
Exactly. So, And I don't know if Bray Wyatt quite has that much respect, but he does have – he certainly gets more love from the people than your typical heel.
Yeah, he does. But I think – I'm not saying he has the same respect as that, but it's the same kind of almost catchy, kitschy thing, storyline that they have to them. And,
right.
you know, if it's done right, it does well. And, you know, he's stuck around, so obviously they're doing it right because he does get a good reaction.
Oh, well, JoJo. I haven't seen JoJo in a while.
Nah.
And I was disappointed. JoJo was not at the show that I went to the other night.
Oh, really?
Last year she was.
Ah.
This year, no JoJo. It was a dude. I don't even remember the guy's name. I've seen him on TV once or twice before, on NXT, but I've never seen him on Raw.
Mm.
So it's weird. They did protect Joe, though. The main event was actually Joe versus Roman Reigns.
Yes.
And they protected Joe because it ended in a DQ.
Right.
So I was surprised at that. But all the faces won. Like, the whole show, Neville was the only heel that actually won on that house show the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like every babyface won, from start to finish.
Damn.
And Roman Reigns closed out the show. Main event.
Yeehaw.
But the co-main was Rollins versus Bray Wyatt. But Bray Wyatt got a reaction like that there, too.
Well, like I said, though, he is popular.
Yeah. That's Balor was really over, too, though. Balor was in the first match. It was Balor versus Curt Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, who's going to win this match? You know, Curt Hawkins, I don't think, has won a match since he came back to WWE.
No, I don't think he has either.
But Balor was super over, especially with chicks. A lot of the chicks love
him. Of course. Look at him.
So, but he's one of the people that I think not only the chicks like, the guys like him too, because he's a good wrestler.
Well, he is. He's a very good worker.
And, you know, he doesn't get the same type of hate that Roman Reigns gets. You know, because the girls, they're big on Roman Reigns too, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Roman Reigns, like, yeah, he's good looking, but, like, I'd rather see Finn Balor just for the fact that he's just better in the ring.
True.
Like,
and, I mean, I don't think Roman Reigns is terrible in the ring.
No, he's not terrible, but Finn Balor's smaller, and he can
right.
do a lot more, and he's more athletic. He can just do a lot more. It's a much more entertaining show. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a different flavor of match.
Now, I don't think they're going to put him over in this match. Some people thought maybe they would. In my opinion, I would say either him or maybe Rollins. I doubt if
I would
Joe
like
is going
to
win.
Yeah, I would like to see Balor put him over. I don't think Joe's going to win. There's a good possibility it may be Rollins.
There's no way Bray Wyatt's going to win. He doesn't have a chance in hell.
No.
Roman Reigns might... I mean, it's between one of the three faces. We know that.
Yeah.
I doubt it'll be Roman Reigns because they're trying to save Roman Reigns and Lesnar for WrestleMania next year.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's going to be... Now, according to most insiders, they believe they are still planning Braun Strowman versus Lesnar for SummerSlam. So,
okay.
Whoever he faces at Great Balls of Fire most likely is not going to win the belt. So, with that in mind, Rollins would be the most likely person to face it. Because I think they still want to save Balor down the road.
Yeah, but Balor's got momentum behind him.
He does. And that pro, that the interview segment that they did with Paul Heyman and Balor on Raw, that
mm-hmm.
certainly helped.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Heyman really put Balor over. I mean, he acknowledged he was the first Universal Champion and how he never lost the title and how he's an international superstar and blah, 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 and really put him over like he would be a legit challenger to Brock Lesnar or to
right.
Brock Lesnar, he would say.
That's true.
So
I think you should be Paul Heyman for Halloween. You sound great doing that.
I know. And we got the same amount of hair, so that would.
Well, no, you got. I think you got to do like balding ponytail, Paul Heyman. We'll get you. We'll get you like a lace weave and attach it to the back of your head. That's just got some sparse long hairs, and we'll pull them back. You got.
Right.
We're gonna have to make you a little more pasty white, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. You're not. You're like a slightly more mocha than him.
Exactly. But I think this is going to be a good match. Extreme Rules, like, some of those gimmick pay-per-views like this are, you know, they've never been my favorite, because I've always preferred to be able to have regular matches, and when you have a pay-per-view like Extreme Rules, you're kind of, every match has to have, like, some kind of gimmick or stipulation to it. And it kind of, you know, I never, like, events like that. I mean, it reminds me of, in my opinion, the worst pay-per-view of all time, WCW Uncensored. Which was just absolutely awful. Every match is supposed to be uncensored, and, you know, I guess that was before they started using the word extreme.
Yeah.
And it was just awful. I mean, that match between Dustin Rhodes and the Blacktop Bully on the back of the truck... I still think that's the worst match I've ever seen in my life.
That was it. That whole thing was just like,
I mean, that
it really was terrible.
Stopped me from watching WCW pay-per-views for a while after that.
I still watched them after that, but I was it definitely left a bad taste in your mouth after watching it. Like, that's a stand. Anybody that saw that, that's like a standout pay-per-view of like what not to do.
Oh, yeah, that one really turned me off. I mean, like, pretty much, I've been a fan all the way through for the last 3-plus decades. But after WrestleMania 9, when they pulled that double title change, when Yokozuna won the belt, and moments later, Hogan won the belt.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
was so pissed. That's the only time I ever stopped watching WWE. And I stopped watching it for 3 months until Hogan lost the belt back to Yokozuna. And then I started watching again, which was right around the time that Luger did the whole thing with the raggedy bus and slammed Yokozuna and that whole thing started. But Hogan's whole reign, I did not watch. But I was still watching wrestling. I was still watching WCW and whatever
well,
else.
Yeah, there were still regionals and stuff. I mean, there were other options
back right.
then. Yeah, so it wasn't like you didn't have a choice.
Right. But that three-month period was the only time I ever stopped watching WWE or WWF from the late 80s all the way up till now. That was it.
I stopped watching during Cena's rapper phase.
Oh, really?
I couldn't stand. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Goodbye.
WCW, which used to be my favorite when it was Jim Crockett Promotion, the NWA. I used to love.
I loved it.
NWA, WCW. But then they started getting a little goofy when Ted Turner took over and. When they were trying to be more WWE-esque. I mean, I think what made people like Jim Crockett Promotion so much back in the late 80s was the fact that it wasn't the WWE. You know, it was something different.
That's true.
The matches seemed more real. The characters were more realistic. It wasn't quite as cartoony as WWE was back then. And, you know, that was what drew me to it and drew a lot of people to it. But then when Ted Turner purchased it, he was trying to make it more like WWE. I mean, you know, like I've discussed before, how when RoboCop ends up saving Sting in the cage, I mean, it started getting ridiculous with some of the stuff. You know, the Shockmaster and some of those stupid gimmicks, the Wizard Oz or whatever the fuck he was, with Kevin Nash, you know, as Oz.
Yeah, no, I know. It's, they're very forgettable.
Yeah, it was all kinds of really goofy shit that they started to do, and then when they did that Uncensored pay-per-view and they had them fighting on the back of that damn flatbed truck, I was just like, this is just, I can't even watch this shit no more. Like, it was that bad. Till, you know, I had, and at the time I used to order all of their pay-per-views. Cause back then they were cheap, for starters. They were, you know, between $14.95 and $19.95 back then.
Yeah, those were the easy ones. Like, we used to all get together, a group of us. Like, those were the ones where you were only paying, like, $5 cover charge for, like, snacks and, you know, your food, your drinks, and to cover the pay-per-view type thing. And it might be, like, 10 of you. And that's more than enough. As opposed to, like, WrestleMania, where it's, like, $15 or $20 each person. Because the fucking pay-per-view is so damn expensive.
Well, back then, it wasn't really bad. WrestleMania was probably $30 back then.
It was, like, $30-$35.
And the regular pay-per-views were $14.95 to $19.95. Cause I remember when I ordered we just hit the 28-year anniversary, too, last month, when Ric Flair beat Steamboat to win the belt back at WrestleWar 89.
Oh, yes.
And that was only $14.95. And that was one of the first pay-per-views I ordered.
That was, if you think about it, though, back at that time, that was a lot of money.
Right. But, I mean,
it was a lot less than it is now.
Right. And I mean, I remember, so I used to order pay-per-views on a regular, and you didn't have one every month.
Correct. It was,
know,
what, once a quarter? Yeah, once a quarter or so, which made it easy to be able to afford it.
Right. So spending $15, $20 every 3 months, it was nothing. And then, you know, like you said, some of you get friends to come over and they go half or whatever the hell you want to do. You know, it wasn't that bad. But when they did that, I just stopped ordering. And then, of course, the price increase came.
Yeah.
These went up to $24.95. Remember, I thought this was outrageous when they went up to $24.95. I was like, it's just terrible. Who's up $25?
Yeah.
Little did I know. That they would be $55 now, or WrestleMania
$65.
Right.
Oh yeah, WrestleMania 7. But if you want the HD feed, it's $10 more.
Right, and you know, something like the Mayweather Pacquiao fight was $100.
Yeah.
You know, who would have thought that the pay per views would cost that much one day? You know, thank goodness for the network. I mean, $9.99. It's great.
It is.
But,
you really can't complain.
Exactly. But, you know, back in the day, there was no such thing. But I remember being truly disgusted with that, and I did not order another WCW pay-per-view after that until, I want to say, the Starrcade when Sting wrestled Hogan.
Wasn't that like Starrcade 93, or you went to Starrcade 93?
No, I went
97.
To, I never went to any Starrcade. It was Slamboree, 94.
Oh, Slamboree, yes, okay.
But Starrcade 97, I believe, was when Sting was finally going to get the NWO and Hogan, and they fucked the ending up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is why I don't order fucking papers. It was that same reason, you know, and I was disgusted again at the end of the pay-per-view. Because how do you fuck that up?
Easily.
I mean, it was the perfect story. Sting was the hero that had been silent for over a year and would just come down from the sky and save everybody from the NWO.
The baseball bat.
Right. And this was the moment that he was going to finally shut Hogan up and get him for all that shit, and when he told the little kids to stick it and all of that, and Sting was going to be the hero that everybody can get behind, and lo and behold, you've got the perfect story, and they fuck it up because of Hulk Hogan's ego. I mean, that is just ridiculous. I mean, he... as much as we say Hogan did so much for the business, he's hurt it just as bad, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, he's an egotistical jerk-off.
Yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
It was terrible. Terrible. I mean, and like I said, even when they showed the documentary when Sting was watching the match, he even said, you know, it kind of hurts him to watch the match because he knew what was going on and how fucked up everything was. You know, and I'm like, he'd even say it.
Yeah. That's a shame.
I guess, I mean, it made no sense when you watched it. It made absolutely no sense. I mean, you know, Sting, he got beat fair and square thanks to Hogan. And then they restart the match, which you're like, wait a second, that was no fast kill. He beat him fair and square. What the fuck? Like, it was ridiculous. It was really ridiculous. And then they restarted, and then, of course, Sting wins, quote unquote, but it was like he had already lost. So it just took all the air out of everything, you know?
It sucked.
Yeah, it was terrible. But anyway, that was then. This is now. 20 years ago. That's hard to believe. It was so long ago. God damn.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Time
flies. It doesn't really feel that long ago.
Yeah. Well, technically 19 and a half years ago.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, close enough. Close enough.
Right. December of this year will be the 20-year anniversary of that, though, which is, like, crazy. Like, I remember that shit like it was yesterday. It's like...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like... It's just... It's crazy how, like, time really does fly. Like, it really does feel like yesterday.
Yeah.
But here it is almost 20 years later. It's like where... It's crazy.
I know. It really is mind-boggling how quickly time flies. You know, they always tell you that when you're a kid. And you
oh, yeah,
no
and you're like, nah.
Right.
You know, when I was a medical assistant back in the day, I had a patient tell me that life was like a roll of toilet paper. It goes slow in the beginning, but as you get to the end, it goes faster and faster.
Right.
And that's so true.
Right. Right, right. Because I think when you're so young, you don't have a concept of time at all, and everything seems so long.
Summer break used to feel like a year long when I was a kid.
Exactly.
And then you get to high school, and you're like, "Crap, only 3 months? That's nothing."
Right. But then, like, even that, like the 4 years of high school seemed like it took forever, and now, you know. 4 years goes by like in a blink of an eye, and you're like, damn, it's been 4 years already?
Yeah.
It's time for another presidential election and the Olympics again, and it's just like it happens so quickly. And speaking of that, I mean, obviously we don't want to get too deep into politics, but did you notice beginning of Raw? Once again, now this was Memorial Day. Once again, WWE has yet to acknowledge the presidency of Donald Trump. Yet to acknowledge.
I didn't notice that.
Like, it was, I mean, it wasn't a lot of people really mentioned it. I mean, I might be the only one.
And you know what? I could care less whether they do or not.
But it was just odd that they did their whole little Memorial Day package like they do. They even showed clips from President Obama and President Reagan, but did not show anything of Donald Trump, having still not acknowledged that he's the president, knowing that he is, in fact, in the celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame. Linda McMahon donated $6 million to his campaign. They have visited him in the Oval Office, but they have yet to acknowledge anything on television, I guess, because they know they would turn off a lot of their fan base.
Yeah, I mean, he's not good for business.
Right. But, I mean, it's like, it's to me, it's so obvious. Like, I mean, to show two former presidents and not show the sitting president. And usually they always show the sitting president when they do their little Memorial Day package. It was very obvious to me. And then the fact that it's a guy that's in your damn Hall of Fame and you still won't acknowledge it, like, that just shows how they're really trying to avoid that, you know?
I mean, he's not exactly popular, so, again, it's not good for business.
No, not at all. But, you know, so I just noticed that and just thought that that was interesting, to say the least.
It is. It is. But, I mean, I can understand why. I think we all can.
Right. Also, we, much to my pleasure, the numbers are in and Wonder Woman is ahead. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic.
So happy. I mean, this was our big question. We were wondering whether it was going to do well. I mean, probably way back when the show first began, we have always wondered, would it be the right time to put a female lead in an action movie, and would it do well? And, you know, a lot of them bombed along the way, a lot of the other lesser-known characters. But Wonder Woman is the queen bee. She's always been the queen bee.
She has.
You know, she, and the fact that it's taken so long to finally get her to the silver screen has just been crazy, but I'm glad it finally happened, and good results.
Well, I'll tell you what, the whatchamacallit, it was, Wonder Woman was trending on Twitter because Rotten Tomatoes had it at a 10 at one point. I think it's still like a 97% or something like that.
The last I checked, it was 94. I didn't check it.
Okay, but it was trending back when it was a 10 because it was like craziness, and all the critics that had reviewed it at that point had said it was fantastic.
Yeah, and it's still at 94. So, you know, 94 out of 100, that's outstanding. Certainly one of the highest critically received DC films probably since, you know, The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And that, you know, was a fantastic film. You know, but so Wonder Woman did not disappoint. $100 million at the box office domestically, and an additional $122 million overseas. It's done $223 million in its first weekend when you combine.
Good.
Which is fantastic.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess all of our fears were like for nothing because she.
No, I mean, listen, we were very founded in our fears.
Exactly.
Because look at how many have bombed.
But she delivered when she had to. They made a great movie, and I mean, it was just girl power all the way, because not only did Wonder Woman make a boatload of money and is a bona fide blockbuster, but also it is the highest grossing opening ever for a female directed film, as Patty Jenkins, who was the director of the film, also made history in that respect. So that's fantastic. Did
that's
they
so
finally
great.
Break that proverbial glass ceiling in Hollywood? I mean, as much as Hollywood tries to act like they're so forward-thinking and so progressive in a lot of their line, I think we know it's like pretty much every other industry, it's been the old boys' club.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been tough for female directors. I mean, you've had a few exceptions who have done reasonably well, but, you know, this right now, June 2017, the first time that a woman directed a film that opened at over $100 million and over $200 million worldwide. That's pretty fantastic in my opinion.
It's great.
It's about time, right?
It is about damn time.
So hopefully this will start a trend of things, and this really makes Zack Snyder look bad.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, as we discussed, obviously he's going through some personal issues, and I don't want to make light of that by any means, but I mean, he directed a couple of films that were really critically panned. And I mean, he had a movie with Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman in it, and he fucked that up. Like, how do you fuck that up?
Easily. Just ask him.
And it is just like, what the fuck? But now, Patty Jenkins was able to take Wonder Woman and do a wonderful job with that. So, congratulations to her. Easily won the box office this week as it took the top spot. Captain Underpants opened at number 2 with $23.5 million.
Oof. Not even close.
And last week's box office champ, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, down to number 3 with $21.6 million.
Mm.
Guardians of the Galaxy still adding money, too. They did another $9 million. That's
not bad.
Done $816 million worldwide. Not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Surprisingly, though, fucking Baywatch bombed.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
I mean, even internationally, Baywatch has only made $67 million worldwide so far. Like, it's an enormous bomb.
Yeah, I figured it was going to bomb. I have no idea why they thought that would be a good idea to make that movie.
I guess because they did the, what was it, 21 Jump Street?
Yeah,
and,
I guess.
You know, they've done some of those, the Chips, which that bombed too.
That did bomb.
You know, I guess none of those films have really done well when you really think about it.
No, they really haven't.
I mean, they like when they take those old, you know, like, cop show or whatever. Well, I guess Baywatch, they weren't cops, but you know, that type of action, drama, whatever the fuck, TV show, and try and make a movie, they don't do well, it seems.
No, they really don't.
You know, I mean, Mod Squad, remember they did a Mod Squad movie? Like, probably, it was probably early 2000, maybe 99.
Mm-hmm.
Something. It was a while ago. I remember Claire Danes was the girl in it.
Yes.
And Omar Epps, I think, was the black guy.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Right, but they were like the it people at the time. Or among,
oh, they were. Well, think about it. She was super popular back then.
Right.
Like, she was on My So-Called Life. Once she was on My So-Called Life, she blew up.
Right. I mean, she hasn't done bad. I mean, she's on that Homeland show. And
she's
that's
won a
well.
Lot of awards for that.
Yeah, that show's very well liked. So she ended up having a pretty decent career for herself, but that Mod Squad movie was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, the show's not that bad. I mean, you know, you can still see the reruns. There's so many classic TV networks out there, you can see all these old shows all the time, and
yeah,
I watch the original show, and I'm like, the original show is actually pretty good, but that movie was terrible.
Sometimes they just don't translate well.
I mean, I'm trying to think of other TV shows that they made movies that were just Bewitched. Remember they did that with
Nicole Kidman and
Will Ferrell. They did The Dukes of Hazzard.
Terrible.
Or Jessica Simpson. Like, she wasn't even Daisy Duke. I mean, come on.
Yeah, she was wearing the booty shorts.
Right. But Daisy Duke is not a blonde like Jessica Simpson. Even though she did look good in those shorts, though, I must admit. But, I mean, they went more to that like parody sort of thing, which is kind of what they did with Baywatch.
Yeah, that's what they have been doing. And
right.
It's like, it obviously doesn't work. Or
I think 21
not...
Jump Street is the only one that really did well because they got the sequel 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, but that was like, they did that as like a cop comedy, which can go over well if done good.
And then the Brady Bunch did pretty good. Remember when they did that? And that was kind of like a parody of itself.
True. True.
But most of them have failed miserably.
95% of them have failed miserably.
Yeah, I think that's...
That's a fair assumption.
Absolutely. I mean, is there a TV show that you would love for them to make a movie of? I think for me, I think I have one.
The Greatest
American Hero, for me, would be awesome as a movie.
Yeah, it would.
I love that show. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I mean, it still has the greatest TV show theme song ever.
I can't really think of any shows. I can think of some cartoons that I would like to see made into movies, but...
In a live action or a...
live action. Like, I would love to see a live action Voltron. But, like, it has to be done right.
Do you think, like, the Power Rangers kind of did that? Or you would want to see actual Voltron?
I want to see Voltron. But, like, I'm a fan of the Power Rangers, too, so I'm happy they rebooted the Power Rangers. Because, like, I've been a fan of the Power Rangers since they started airing them here in the early 90s. That's, like, a guilty pleasure of mine.
Yeah. I mean, and as a kid, like I said, every guy I knew had a crush on Amy Jo Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, every guy I knew did, too.
Yeah. But now, I can't think of any other show other than Greatest American Hero that I'd like to see.
Yeah, it's that's a tough one because it's like
they did the A-Team and that wasn't really good.
No, that was a terrible movie.
Maybe Knight Rider.
Oh no, they made a Knight Rider movie.
A TV movie, but not a big screen.
Oh yeah, it was a made for TV movie.
And they did a reboot, the 2008 reboot, where it was a Mustang.
I'm not mad at that because I drive a Mustang. So,
but what I didn't like about that show, like it had potential to be a really good show, but. And I understand why they did it, because a lot of cars can, I mean, not to the same extent that Kit did, but they can kind of drive by themselves or at least park themselves. And they talk. I mean, my car talks, you know.
Aren't we fancy? I have a 2007, excuse me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's all in the navigations, but you can, like, talk to them and make a change to the station, and they'll say, like, you know, command, please, and then I say whatever station, and then, okay, tuning.
Yeah, I've been in cars that have that. Mine's a 2000, you know. I don't like the new ones. I have an awesome body style on mine. I have the throwback, the 60s throwback.
But, I mean, like, basically, they're not to the extent that Kit was.
Oh, absolutely not. They're still not to the extent that Kit was back in the original TV series.
But it's close enough that it's not so...
Wild. Far-fetched.
Right, not so far-fetched, exactly. So in order to make Kit seem a little more special in that reboot, they had it where he literally like was able to shape-shift and change from... Mustang to like a pickup truck and all kinds of, which I thought was kind of stupid. I know why they did it, but it was like stupid to me. Like, why would he have to change forms and all that? But I guess you had like the Transformers movies out and all of that shit. And like I said, it was kind of like, well, real cars can do pretty close to what the original kit could do, so we got to make him be able to do something totally out of the ordinary, you know?
Yeah.
But to me, that just ruined it.
Yeah, I'm not, like, Transformers is fine to do that with, but, like, I can't, that just doesn't fit in. Like, I know Knight Rider. If they, you know, if it had been maybe 50 years since the series had been out, and, like, people really didn't know about it, then it might be okay to work the transformations in, but not, it's like, it hasn't been really that long, per se.
Right. And there was too many, the cast was too big, in my opinion. Coup de grace? What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Samoa Joe.
A lot of people want to see that match, Joe versus Lesnar. But
yeah. He's a big dude, though.
It's over.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's a shock.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's Samoa Joe. And we both were like, nah, they're not going to give it to him.
Oh, wow.
Well, we were wrong.
Wow, that is a shock.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good matchup, though.
That is.
Joe versus Lesnar is a real good matchup. Like, it's a believable matchup, too. But, I mean, it kind of makes sense because the other night at the house show, I was seeing how they protected Joe. Like, even though Joe lost the match, they didn't let Roman Reigns pin him. It was a disqualification.
Yeah.
And that was the only DQ finish the whole night. And it was the main event. And,
yeah.
I had went to the show with my brother, and I had mentioned to him, I was like, it's odd that they're protecting Joe like that, because you would think Roman Reigns would win by pin.
Yeah.
But it didn't. It was a DQ. And I was like, there must be a reason that they're protecting him, and now we see the reason.
Yeah. That's. I didn't expect that at all.
No, I didn't either.
Oh, well. So it is what it is.
I mean, I think it's a good matchup, though.
It is. Well, it is, though.
And it's a believable matchup.
It is. He's a big guy. And it's like, you can't put little guys in with Lesnar. Like, I understand you can make it look believable, but it just really feels more believable when you have someone that's a comparable size. Doesn't have to be as big.
And he has the MMA background.
Yes.
Just like Lesnar. I mean, like, on paper, this is really a good matchup. Like, this is a match that I personally would have, like, I mean, it's going to be a great Balls of Fire, but I would have actually waited and booked something like this at one of the bigger pay-per-views, one of the big four.
Yeah, that is a matchup that is a big four worthy, because we all know that people really do want to see that match.
Yeah.
They're guaranteeing ticket sales with that matchup. Like, literally guaranteeing them.
Right. And this is one of the most credible main events that they're going to have on a pay-per-view in a while. I mean, after some rather disappointing pay-per-view main events the last several months, like the Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton thing, which didn't go well, which, like I said, I don't want to take anything away from Jinder Mahal. You know, I think he took advantage of the opportunity he was given.
And good for him. I'm happy for him. If for all he knows, this could have been the only opportunity he got.
Right. And some people never get that opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
And he got it. They let him win the championship, and fantastic. Renee's flying solo here on Raw Talk, which is normally she has somebody there.
Ooh.
So I don't know what's going on there. But so as you just heard, Extreme Rules main event, the Fatal 5-Way is over. Samoa Joe is the number one contender. He will face Brock Lesnar for the Universal title at Great Balls of Fire. Also, we had a new Intercontinental Champion crown to start the pay-per-view off. The Miz defeated Dean Ambrose. Now a 7-time Intercontinental Champion is The Miz, as he and his lovely wife Maryse make their way to Raw Talk now. Maurice is so fine. Like, she was at the show the other day, and I was just like, damn, that's a pretty woman.
Yeah.
Like, she really is. She's just so
attractive. She is. He lucked out.
He really did. He did way better than he should have. But, you know, I guess sometimes you hit that fucking jackpot, you know?
Yeah. There's also a nice little, I guess, proverb, and maybe I'm spilling the beans too much on a little female secret, but a lot of the times they say to date someone that's not good-looking, because if you're a good-looking girl and you're dating a not good-looking person, they usually end up treating you a lot better because they know you're at, they're at, or, you know, you're not in their league.
Yeah, and it's possible that, oh, and she smacked her own husband. She did that, what, to get him disqualified?
I'm not sure.
Because I didn't see this match yet. When the replay comes, I'll get to actually see the match.
I actually had taken my dog for a walk. I'm sorry. I had to. He had to go.
Gotcha. We had the mixed tag team match. Rich Swann and Sasha Banks defeated Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. No surprise there.
Right.
Bitches won. Alicia Fox, or not Alicia Fox, but Alexa Bliss retained her Raw Women's Championship over Bayley in the Kendo Stick on a Pole match.
Which was just, I was very meh about that whole match.
And that match, only 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was not good.
That
was
just like
not
another
a good match.
Diva match, almost. Like going back to the Diva. They're supposedly making so many advances with women now. And then they booked that.
It was really just, I was not pleased with it. It was a bullshit match.
And they have the women's tournament coming up next month. The official name, I believe, is the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the 32-woman tournament, similar to when they did with the Cruiserweight Classic and the UK Championship tournament. But this time the girls take center stage. Jim Ross, from what I understand, is going to be doing the play-by-play. They're talking about putting a female to do the color commentary with Jim Ross, like perhaps Lita.
Ooh.
Or maybe do a three-person booth. I mean, Renee Young is actually not a bad commentator.
No, she's not.
I don't know if you ever heard her do the commentary before. But
she's not bad.
Right, she was on Superstars before. She would do Superstars with Todd Phillips, or one of them. And it would be Todd Phillips doing the play-by-play, and she did the color. And she actually wasn't bad. I was like, they should let her do it more often.
I'd like to see her do it more often. I think it'd be a nice change.
Right. And since, you know, they are doing that women's tournament, it would be great to have Renee Young doing the color with Jim Ross, and then maybe add Lita or some, you know, other former woman wrestler in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, since they insist on doing that three-man booth. But, you know, we'll see where they go with that. Neville retained the Cruiserweight Championship over Austin Aries, and brand new Raw Tag Team Champions in Steel Cage match, Cesaro and Sheamus defeating the Hardy Boys.
That was a fun one.
Which you took exception to the cage. Yeah, I wasn't able to get a good idea with the cage. I still got to watch that again, because I was kind of watching on my phone. I was driving at the same time. It was really weird. I couldn't really see what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. It was exciting. They kept the action up the whole time. I just think the cage was still a little too small, but...
And the signal kept dropping out, like it froze, and I didn't know what to
Yeah, you gotta watch it as a solid thing, because they were back and forth. It was entertaining. That was one of the few things I enjoyed on the pay-per-view.
So, I guess it was a okay pay-per-view. Main event delivered. It seemed exciting. A lot of crazy spots. And I'm certainly satisfied with the result with Joe. You know, like I said, I'm really looking forward to that matchup. Joe and Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire, which still sounds ridiculous that that's the name of the pay-per-view.
But I can't believe that either.
But now, speaking of the women, 2 weeks from tonight, on the SmackDown side, Money in the Bank, women will make history again. First ever all-female Money in the Bank match will take place on the SmackDown brand Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Charlotte Flair, Natalya, Becky Lynch, Tamina Snuka, and Carmella will face each other in that Money in the Bank match. What are your thoughts? I mean, the women made history before, Charlotte and Sasha Banks wrestling in the first ever female Hell in a Cell match. Now, the first ever female Money in the Bank ladder match.
I mean, it's about time. I can't say that I'm super looking forward to it. I don't know. I'm not that hyped for it yet.
Do you think that there could be a risk? I mean, let's be honest. Ladder matches end careers, shorten careers.
Very easily.
I mean, you know, some of the matches that the people love, I mean, you know, one of the criticisms we had of ECW was how it became a can you top this thing that the fans wanted more. And every time you did one thing, they wanted to escalate it to the next thing and the next and the next and the next. And, you know, I don't agree with much that New Jack says or does, but I did agree when he said that these fucking fans were not going to be happy until you throw somebody off of the building, and then they'll be happy. Like,
that's
they just
true,
wanted
though.
More and more and more.
Yeah, and it got to the point where it was so dangerous for their careers and stuff. It's like, you have to think safety. These people aren't there to end their careers. They're there to entertain. So, I mean, it has to be within a certain limit. But it's like, you know, it's tough with the ladders because anything and everything can go wrong.
Exactly. And as much as we've seen the men, you know, get injured and do the female, you know, they're a lot smaller. And I mean, you know, like we said, Wonder Woman did all good and girl power and all that's all good, but let's be honest, you know, women are smaller and they can get hurt easier, especially when you're dealing with a ladder.
Yeah, but we're also lighter and we can bounce a bit better.
Could, but I mean, some of those crazy fights, I mean, we don't know what they're going to try, and they might try extra hard, kind of like Sasha and Charlotte did, because they know it's a history-making thing, and they know all eyes are going to be on them because of the significance of it. But, and I mean, like, you remember the spot at the end of that Hell in a Cell match when Charlotte threw Sasha on the
and
table.
And she didn't go through the table. Yeah.
Right. She's too light. Threw her on there twice, and the damn table still didn't break.
Yeah. It should have been sawed, but they probably didn't realize that it was not going to break.
And, you know, you figure a ladder, the way they do some of those crazy spots, these girls are not going to be able to break them damn ladders like that. I mean, I don't know if they would even attempt that, but they might. You never know.
Yeah, that's a tough thing, because if they attempt it, that's really their own thing. If they weren't told to do it, it's one of those things where you're risking a lot.
And they could, in fact, you know, get some serious injuries. I mean, we've seen the guys get really hurt and fucked up from ladder matches. I mean,
career
ending. Look at how Matt Hardy walks now. You know, I mean, he that extreme shit took its toll on him, and you know, he walks with a pretty significant limp, it looks like, you know?
Yeah, he does.
Jeff, he's also paid his dues from those crazy bumps that he's taken. I mean, both Edge and Christian, they are both had to end their careers prematurely because of crazy bumps that they took over the course of their career. So, you know, these are some dangerous damn matches.
Yeah, and it sucks, too, because I liked Edge. But, you know, with especially a lot of them get neck injuries.
True. Now, Charlotte, she's very lean and muscular. And I think she actually might be, and she's very skilled. So I think she actually may be able to handle it. Natalya, coming from a wrestling family and being
Oh, she can handle it. She's a thick girl. She's sturdy. It's not the sturdy girls. It's the little girls that you got to watch out for.
Right,
like Tamina Snuka wouldn't have a problem. She's a nice, sturdy, thick girl.
And
but
they're,
like,
they're trained.
Yes.
Those three women are very highly skilled.
They are.
But then when you, Becky Lynch, also very skilled, but mm-hmm. she's a little smaller.
She is.
You get a little bit, you know, a little worry with Becky Lynch. But then when you get to Carmella, as little as Carmella is, and as, I mean, like I said, with all due respect, she is not as skilled as the rest of them.
No, not nearly as much.
She can really get hurt.
Very easily. Sasha Banks could really get hurt in a match like that, too, because she's very small.
She is. But Sasha's more skilled than Carmella.
Yeah. But, I mean, just basing it on, like, body type for towards, you know, and against risk, it's like those smaller girls, even if they are skilled, they have a significant risk.
Right. But right now, I would say Carmella is the one I'd be most concerned with, and then probably Becky Lynch. Now, Lana is supposedly petitioning to try and get into the ladder match as well. I would really be concerned with Lana because she really is just learning how to fucking wrestle, and you don't get in a crazy gimmick match like this that's that dangerous with very little skill. Like, you really need to know what you're doing when you're dealing with a ladder match.
Yeah, hopefully they won't. They'll say no to her.
Right. I would agree. I would agree. But we'll see. I mean, I think it has potential to really be an exciting match and something that people will talk about for years to come. But at the same time, it's one of those things that there is a true chance of some major injury there.
And that's the risk.
Yeah.
It's always the risk.
I mean, also on the men's side. I mean, you know, you've got another ladder match, you know, on the men's side with Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, Nakamura, and Sami Zayn. That's going to be a good one. But, you know, the risk would still apply. But, I mean, these guys have done ladder matches before. And, you know, I mean, how do you learn how to fall on a ladder, as Jim Ross would say? But they've done them before. And I guess they're a little better.
More trained.
Yeah.
They know how it works.
And they're bigger. I mean, Kevin Owens push his ass through a ladder, he's going right through it.
Yeah, he's also got some cushioning on him.
Exactly.
Like, most of those guys have cushioning on them.
Right. I mean, the leanest ones would probably be Zayn and AJ, and Nakamura, he's pretty lean, too. Well, Dolph Ziggler is, too. All of them are actually small.
They're lean.
Corbin and,
Corbin and Owens, but, like, they still have some meat on them. They're not super lean.
Right. Right, at least they're over 200 pounds, so they got enough to see where they will do it. But these girls, they're lightweighted. On top of that, they're you know, Carmella. I'd be really, really concerned about Carmella. I don't even know why they decided to put her in that match.
Oh, I have no idea either. I mean,
they have Carmella billed as 110 pounds.
Oh my god.
5'5", 110 pounds.
Oh, that's small.
Yeah, she's very tiny. I mean, you can look and see how small she is. And she she never wrestled on the indies. I mean, like, that's one thing that you can say. Sasha Banks did wrestle on the indies, so she's very skilled in that respect. And like we said with the other girls, like Becky Lynch and Charlotte. Charlotte didn't wrestle on the indies, but she's Ric Flair's daughter, and, you know, it was almost like she was a natural. You know what
right.
I mean? Snuka, also second generation, as well as Natalya being a second generation. Carmella technically is a second generation wrestler because her father actually was a wrestler. But she really learned how to wrestle through the Performance Center. Like, she never wrestled on the indie scene. She is totally a WWE product, started at the Performance Center down there in Florida, and that's how she learned how to wrestle. So, I'd be really concerned.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Or, was her father a wrestler or was he a referee?
He was a referee.
Her father... Lee Van Dell, let me see. I can't even. Of course I can't find any information.
Not when you need to.
Exactly.
It'll pop up. We'll just have to mark it down for next week. Because you know it'll pop up at some point in time, and you'll be like, there's the info.
I just found it.
There you go.
She's the daughter of Paul Van Dell, a former professional wrestler. So he is a professional wrestler. He was a jobber in the 90s, and he also worked in independent promotions.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, her dad was a referee. I knew he was either a wrestler or a referee. So she is technically a second generation.
She's
the
daughter of a jobber.
Exactly. But I mean, where you got one daughter of a Hall of Famer with Tamina Snuka, Natalya, daughter of Jim Neidhart, niece of Hall of Famer Bret Hart, mm-hmm. and Owen, and all of the rest of the fucking Hart brothers.
Charlotte, daughter of, like...
Daughter of Ric Flair.
One of the daughter of Ric Flair, who needs no...
Two-time Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Like, hasn't he held, like, the world champion about, like, 15 times or something like that? Or 17? Or 16.
Right.
Like, you know, that's... He doesn't need any introductions.
Becky Lynch, now she was actually trained by Finn Balor. She did the indie scene as well. So, I mean, she's skilled. Like I said, the one I'd be most concerned with is Carmella. And I don't think it's being sexist. I think we're just being real.
Well, yeah, it's just concern for the fact that she's not as developed. It's just a fact. It's not anything bad. It's just a fact.
Right. And the fact that she's as small as she is and not as skilled, like, you know, I'd be very concerned with her. If they were smart, they would do something where she supposedly gets hurt and she's eliminated from the match early, something like that. That way she doesn't have to really put herself at much risk. But she shouldn't be involved in any crazy spot at all. Not in my
Yeah.
opinion. Unless they want to really break her in half. And then Big Cass won't have his little girlfriend at night. And you can't teach that.
No.
I know, he'd be pissed. He'd be like, oh, you just hurt my girl like that?
Yeah.
See, I'm looking out for you, Cass. You see that?
You are. You're such a nice person. Look at you.
See? I don't want nothing to happen to Cass's girl.
So sweet of you.
See that? Always thinking about my fellow man there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but that's in 2 weeks, though. So the Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming up in just a couple of weeks. Extreme Rules is now in the books, so it's something. Next up for the Raw brand, Great Balls of Fire.
I still can't believe that's the name of a pay-per-view.
I know, it's so stupid.
It is. It's, I can't even.
Like, Who the hell thought of that?
And are they going to play the song too? Did they have to get rights to use that name? Like,
I would think they would have to, because I would imagine that phrase is probably trademarked. I would imagine.
But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Unless it's not, then they got away with fucking murder.
Yeah. Because I'd be like, when you hear that term, you think of the song.
Great Balls of Fire.
Jimmy Lee Jones. What the fuck is his name? Something Jones? Tommy Lee Jones? No, not Tommy Lee Jones. That's the actor. What the fuck is his name? Oh, this is so terrible.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
I knew it was three names. I couldn't think of his fucking three names.
Came out in 1957.
Oh, wow.
So that
would make it an anniversary because it's 2017. So this is the 60th.
Okay, maybe that's why they did it. It was number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot Country Singles, number two on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, and number one on the U.K. Singles Chart.
Wow, so it was a smash hit.
Yeah.
Damn, who would have thought? I mean, it certainly has endured.
Well, it's also been redone and covered by the Crickets, Billy J. Kramer, the Kingsmen, Tiny Tim, the New Beats, the Hassles, Gary Lewis and the Playboys, Aerosmith, Newgrass Revival, Electronic Light Orchestra, Dolly Parton, Amy Stewart, Alvin and the Chipmunks, OV7, Fleetwood Mac, The Misfits, Titeur, Dorothy, Offenbach, Dean DeLannoy, Ann Merrill, The Flamingos, Johnny Winter, Seamus from The Family Guy, Mae West, The Jolly Boys, Ronnie Dio, Garth Brooks, Take That.
So it's been covered a number of times.
Yeah, those are all people, and those are all charted covers.
And now, a WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Can't get any better than that.
Dude's probably not even alive anymore. He's still making cash.
I think it's time for them to book, since they want to name pay-per-views after songs, I think maybe it's time for them to go to California and do their next big pay-per-view straight out of Compton.
Oh, hell yeah.
That would really be something.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be great.
And then they would have some crazy gimmick match, you know, as the main event, and everything would be all...
The Compton ghetto match?
Yeah,
the ghetto street match?
If you're going to get shot, like, going to the arena or something?
Yeah.
That would be something. But, Great Balls of Fire. So that's coming up. But we do know Great Balls of Fire has a very good main event. They probably had to do a good main event because when they saw the title, I don't know if ticket sales were going to move or not. You know,
we have said
how most of these pay-per-views sell themselves.
They do. That one, however, though, I don't know. That name.
Yeah. Yeah, that name really had... leaves a lot to be desired, to say the least. So, there you have it. Stream rolls down the drain. It's over. It's all a Joe. Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. So, that is it for us for this week. Oh, they got Good Golly Miss Molly. Maybe that could be a pay-per-view. Good Golly Miss Molly.
There you go. Yeah. Tutti Frutti.
Yeah.
The twist?
Yes. And that would be a gimmick match that everybody
has. Yeah.
had to do that. Remember
the ring spins.
You remember the game? What fucking game? It was a WCW game, not the ones that were on Nintendo. It was on the PlayStation. I think the original PlayStation. And it might have been Nitro or Thunder or one. I don't remember what the game was, but you could have a match with like the Disco Inferno, and it would be like in a disco and shit. And if they fucking did some kind of special move or whatever, like everybody would stop in the match and they would all start disco dancing with the disco ball. I mean, it was like the most ridiculous thing. I remember me and my brother, we would be playing each other, and then that shit happened, and we were like, this just set wrestling video games back 30 years with that stupid shit. It was really stupid. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was Nitro, but I might be wrong, though.
Let me see here.
But it was a terrible scene. You're trying to find it?
I'm not sure. Is it? Are you sure it's not Mayhem?
No, because that was. I don't know if that ever came. Did that ever come out? One of them never came out. They were like in development for it, and it never came out. Yeah, that one did come out. Mayhem did come out.
Yeah.
I don't know which one didn't come out. Because WCW wound up going out of business, and they never released the game.
Yeah, I think that was later.
And Goldberg was on the cover. This was before Goldberg. This particular game. So I think it was like Nitro or Thunder. It was either Nitro or Thunder. Let's see if I can find it. Game. Nitro game. Okay, yeah, the Nitro game came out in 1998. And that could be it. That looks familiar. The cover with Sting and Hogan and the Giant.
Yeah, I'm looking at them, and
I think I did have that game, if I'm not mistaken. I think this is it.
Yeah, Nitro with Sting, Hogan, and the Big Show. Yeah.
AKA the Giant.
Yes, well, the Giant, yeah.
All right. Yeah,
they also, and then there's the variant cover, or is this was a different one with Hogan, Goldberg, and Nash.
It was called Nitro also?
I'm showing a Nitro for that as well. It looks like it's a later game, though.
I know they did a Thunder game also.
Yeah, the cover of that's terrible.
Yeah, the Thunder game.
Oh, my God. It looks like it's straight out of the 80s.
That had Hogan and DDP and Goldberg and Big Show. That came out in 98 also. Well, the last day of 98. December 31st, 1998. So
the cover for Revenge is terrible.
But that was a good game. That was
This was a great game. This was N64 in 1998. That was a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually still, to this day, one of the best wrestling games nearly 20 years later. But that fucking Nitro was awful.
Oh, listen, there's been some horrible wrestling games. Like, it's sad to say, like, some of the better wrestling games have been, like, third party or not WCW or WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, some of those unlicensed games have been very good. Wrestling.
Yeah, Power Move Pro Wrestling is a perfect
I
one.
Loved
that was that was always a good game.
Yeah, I mean, now the basics of that engine is really what they use now on WWE 2K. It's pretty much that the engine from Power Move Pro Wrestling. But that still to this day, that original game was so awesome. I mean, they've refined it and changed it a lot over the years, but at its core. That's pretty much the end of the piece. There really has only been two good engines ever in wrestling. That particular engine that was for Power Pro Wrestling that they use on the 2K games now, and the one from Revenge, WCW NWO.
Yeah.
Which was Virtual Pro Wrestling in Japan. That was the engine that they took.
Yes.
And those are really like the only two engines that were ever worth a damn. Because Acclaim had some of the shittiest fucking wrestling games.
Oh, they did. Oh, my God.
I mean, their games were terrible. I mean, the fucking, what was it, Attitude? WWE Attitude? Or WWF Attitude, I should say.
Yeah, WWF Attitude.
And the sequel, I don't even remember what the fuck the sequel was. And then they did an ECW game. After they lost the WWF license, they got the ECW license, and they made, I think, two ECW games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was two ECW games.
And, I mean, the engine was just terrible. I mean, it was too complicated. Like, wrestling, you need a simplistic yet complicated control scheme, in my opinion. Like, that's why the 2K thing works, is because the moves are different per character, but the way you do them is the same. So that it's very easy to play and to change from one character to the next, because the movements on the controller
are all exactly
are
the same.
Exactly. Like, they went overboard with the whole Mortal Kombat thing, where it was so complicated to do, you know,
one fucking move.
It was, you know, like X, triangle, circle, circle, some crazy shit. And then to do the next guy's special move, it was a whole nother different combination. It was like, how could you remember all this fucking shit with all these different characters, you know?
Yeah.
So that was their mistake. I think they overcomplicated the control scheme, and the matches just didn't flow right because you didn't know what the fuck to do at the time.
It just wasn't good. Like, there's just been a lot of crappy ones.
Yeah, I agree. Too many. Too many crappy.
Too
more
many.
Crappy good ones.
Yeah.
But that was one of the worst, though, when they pulled the disco ring out and they start doing disco dancing, like, and they would do it like synchronized disco dancing too, like, you really have to see if you can find footage of that. I'm sure somebody probably has it on YouTube or something.
Oh, someone's got it up, you know they do.
Yeah, but I remember that game was just awful. But that is it for us. We want to thank everybody for listening. Remember, log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow, and of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. So for Maris, I am Tony Lane. Before we leave, I'm seeing this promo here on WWE Network. They're going to have a table for three, almost a complete Horseman reunion. Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, and Tully Blanchard. Now, that's must-watch TV right there.
That is. That's going to be good.
Yeah, that is going to be a good one right there. So, that is it for us. So, once again, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Think out loud. The Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in that this is considered entertainment?
TonyLaneShow.com.